Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
God does it to those who are His. And discipline says, I care. It doesn't always sound like you care, but it says, I care. See, if you don't discipline your children, you're telling them, I don't care if you're not respectful to others. I don't care if you don't consider others. You just think about yourself. You have fun. You're a kid. You don't worry about what everybody else thinks. When you don't discipline them, you say, I don't care if you don't learn about honesty and integrity. I don't care if you don't learn about being content or sharing. I don't care.
Discipline says that you care. When Christians discipline their children, the goal is to create godly individuals who love the Lord and love others. That's part of why God is referred to as your Heavenly Father. He wants you to be a respectful, helpful, and kind follower of Jesus. In today's message, Pastor Troy reminds you that even when you're being disciplined by the Lord, it doesn't mean that you're not loved. He loves you too much to turn His back on you, and He's molding you into something greater. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 12 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Now, you can actually continue to go. You really can, but your body starts to give certain pangs. I remember running as a kid, and you get that side pain, but the gym teacher doesn't stop. And you look around at the other kids, some of them are holding their side, but they're not stopping. You're like, well, they're human too. I guess I can keep it up. You keep going, and what you find is that after a while, it's like you work through it. You get like a second wind, like, wow, I'm good again. And you can go for it. That's physical. That's a physical race. But it happens spiritually as well. We can get to a point where we feel like I have no more. I'm tired. Get the pain right here. You got to keep running. And your coach, he's not stopped. He's not stopped running. He's not stopped going. In fact, he's enabling you to continue. But we are the ones who have a decision to make. See, it's at that point in a runner's heart and mind that they have to make a decision. Give in to this or go. And an experienced runner recognizes the second wind is coming. I'm going to push through it. But the inexperienced runner never gets past that. They stop. I can't do it. You're able to keep going physically. But it's become now a matter of the heart and a matter of the will over the flesh. The flesh wants to tell you one thing, but there's another voice if you would listen in the Christian walk. It will tell you whether you can keep going or not. It will encourage you. Endurance is when everything inside you says, stop. We don't have to do this. We can quit. This is too much. You're not in it for this. But instead, you set your heart on the Lord. You don't listen to that weak flesh, those weak emotions. You don't listen to them, and you listen to the Lord, and you submit your will to His. You deny yourself, and you keep going anyway, trusting in the Lord. This is a battle fought by athletes all over the world, all the time, who want to win. It's the difference in those who win and those who don't. Those who make it to the race or the Olympics and those who don't, those who watch on TV. Pushing through it. The author's goal here is to help you and I fight against weariness and discouragement by helping us to understand a few things. So he points to God's word. He says, look at it. You know, it's the place that we should go when we're feeling in our walk discouraged and weary. Before you ever quit, spend time in God's word. And I don't mean 5 minutes. Open it, point to a passage and go, okay, good. Read it, now I quit. I mean, you wait until God says, here's what's going on. We need to endure. Or, you know what? Yeah, the race is over. You're out, or you can't catch up. We need to take a break, get our breath, and re-enter the next time. Whatever God starts to speak. But until you hear from the Lord, never, ever quit. On a marriage, on a ministry, on anything. Seek the Lord. Turn to his word. And he points to two things that we find in God's word that will help us. Christ's life and God and Christ's love revolves around him. Christ's life in verses 3 and 4. Let's read 3 and 4 again. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. A couple of things there. When we look at Christ's life, let him inspire you. See, he endured hostility from sinners. He was perfect. He didn't deserve any of it. And yet he took it all upon himself. So let that inspire you. He who calls you to live this way and to endure did it himself. Be inspired by that and follow his example. And remember what he has done so that you don't become weary and discouraged yourself. But also let him humble you. In verse 4, he says it could be worse, right? You've not resisted to the point of bloodshed and death on the cross, right? No. I mean, think about the things that God asks you to do. Like, oh, Lord, that TV show he wants you to skip tonight because, oh, man, they're having a night of worship. Man, that's the finale, man. And I know, if I go, I know I can DVR it or whatever you do to save it, but somebody's going to text me. Somebody's going to do something and give it away. Man, I got to watch it live. I can't worship the Lord tonight. I got to worship this thing. And it's a sacrifice. It's hard. How does anyone do this? How does anyone give these things up? See, he's not asking you to go on the cross and take a beating and a crown of thorns and a mocking and a scourging and then to be nailed and... He's not asking that, but we feel like it. I remember as a teenager, just the word no to something I wanted was like a beating. No, we can't do that. Even if it was a good reason, no, we can't afford that. Then you don't love me. I can't believe this. You don't care at all. Like, yeah, you're not resisting to the point of bloodshed yet. We learn it as children, not to accept no. Parents, this is the lesson we teach our children when we always, always give in to them. And as they get older, are they going to change and understand? No, no. The demands become more expensive. That's all that happens. And then to hear a no, you've never said this before. You're going to say, no, this is the problem when you come to faith late and you begin to impose God's standards of rightness and righteousness, godliness in the home. This is one of the biggest battles, biggest hurdles, that test that causes parents want to quit, stop going to church, stop making the changes, because you're not dealing with toddlers now, little ones. You're dealing with kids that are going to be going out one day, and you don't want them to go out hating you, hating the Lord. I don't want to impose this stuff now. It's too late. And yet to introduce them to these things and to help them to see the good results we'll talk about later is one of the best things you can do for them. Because they're only going to be under your guidance for a certain amount of time. And after that, if you think they don't listen to you now. So look to Christ's life and let him inspire you to keep going. And let him humble you. Because you haven't resisted to the point of bloodshed. But we also said, look at Christ's love as we find it in the word. Verses 5 and 6, let's read that. and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Now, scourging is not real light. Do not despise the chastening. Do not be discouraged by his rebuke. Why? Well, because whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. God loves you, and that's why he cares about the things that you do or don't do or think or don't think. He loves you. He wouldn't be concerned at all. He would just turn you over to your own depraved thinking and let you take that downward spiral and then judge you at the end. But because he cares, he intervenes. Because he cares, he makes certain things a little more difficult to either build your endurance or to turn you away from something that's not for you. He loves you. That's why the chastening. That's why the discipline. That's why the rebuke. Verse 7 says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, indeed, for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Second thing we'll consider is God's role reminds us of his love for us. The role of a father he wants to be. An active father, not what we see often today, the absent father, but the father who's there, who wants to establish the guidelines and enforce for your own good.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the Solid
Rock. Fathers discipline their children. Fathers enforce in the home. Fathers who don't do that confuse their children. When they don't enforce what has been established, they confuse them and they teach them that there are no consequences if you say the right things. There are no consequences if you have the right excuses. That's the lesson that we teach. But God's not into teaching us that lesson. If he did, we would all have the same excuse. Well, God understands. God understands my feeling. God understood my intentions. But he still allows consequences, and he still puts his finger on things in our life because he does understand, and it's wrong. It's not right. It's not right thinking. If God let us do everything without consequence, we'd be some spoiled kids. And there won't be spoiled kids in heaven. A father who doesn't discipline is an absent father, not doing the thing that God has given him to do. And it makes problems for mom, especially sons. Sons who grow up, all of them, sons and daughters, but especially sons, because there's something about a son that as he grows up, he gets stronger. He gets strength. And he doesn't know what to do with it. And he learns, I can take mom now in arm wrestling. And I've learned a lot in school, and so mom used to be right all the time. And we're learning this as our son's going to school. You know, we used to tell him about the color of the sky. Well, God made the sky. And, you know, you try to give the little science you can remember from so far back, and then he goes, I'm in science right now, actually, and here's what it is. You're like, oh, really? Oh, when'd you get so smart? But they start to come into their own, and because of their strength and the way they're made differently, they need strength to lead them, not just mom. They need to find out, what do I do with this strength? How do I handle it? Because when I get upset, things break. So what do I do with this? And they need dad to show them. Not by throwing tempers, but by showing them how you handle strength in the home. What it looks like. How do I lead, but not lord over? How do I do these things that a man is called to do? Because he's growing into that. And a father who's not around isn't able to teach their son that. At the same time, when a father's not around, he doesn't teach his daughters what to look for. Neither me or my sister had a good relationship with my dad until much later when he came to Christ, and some of you may have known him, and he was a totally different man. I mean, kids were afraid of my dad, even his own kids. We never wanted to go. If my mom said, go ask your dad, we didn't go ask him. We just understood that's a no. We were afraid of him. We would play football in the yard. When my dad would come home, the yard would clear. It didn't matter if you were passing a touchdown pass. It was like the rapture happened. He was not at the other end of the pass. It was like, oh, the car. Gone. I'd want to go to neighbors' homes. But later on, he gave his life to the Lord, and everything changed, so much so that it was the weirdest thing for me to see kids loving my dad. They loved him. They were attracted to him. It was the one weird thing that you go, that is the Lord. But just because we don't have fathers that fulfill their role the way that they should doesn't mean we should have a wrong view of our Heavenly Father. He's not like them. He's not imperfect. They are. We are. We're imperfect. In fact, some of our chastening is not for the kids' good, it's for our own good. We're doing something we want to do. We don't want to be distracted. The kids need some attention. They haven't heard from us or seen us, and we get upset because I'm focusing on this. I'm looking at this. Stop it. Leave me alone. Go do this. What does mom say? And we're focused. We're rejecting our kids because we're busy about something else. And we've got the wrong sense of priority. So kids grow up learning, God's busy. God doesn't have time. I'm not as important to him. And that's wrong. One thing I love about God is he's got time for everyone all the time. You know, he's not reduced to living by time zones like us. Like, it's not bedtime where he's at. Like, oh man, can't talk to God now because it's bedtime. He's awake for everyone all the time, and he has perfect time to devote to you. That's what makes God God. But he hasn't asked me to be the father to children around the world, but to be the father to my own children. And so as fathers, we need to be that to our own children. We need to teach our children how to raise their children. We shouldn't bypass our children and raise their children. We should teach them how to raise their children, what God's priorities are for them, direct them. See, God's given them to us as a responsibility, and it never goes away, even when they're out of the home. Even if they won't call you back, it's our responsibility to let them know we love them and God loves them, and to point them to the Lord. We don't want to be absent fathers because that's not the example we get in our Heavenly Father. We want to be there. If you're not chastened, he says, you're not children. If you don't want the chastening, don't tell me, don't correct me. He says, that can't happen if you're one of my children. If you're one of my children, it's going to happen. I'm not going to leave you alone. But if you don't want to belong to me, if you don't want to be one of my children, then you won't hear from me. There'll be no conviction. There'll be nothing. You just go on and live your life. The truth is, we all need discipline, right? I've heard so many stories. Now, over-discipline, again, not that. I've heard the stories of obsessive discipline, way out of line, way out of order, too strong and too much. Like you can't breathe, like a control freak is just over you and smacking you in every, like you got to walk their walk. You just be a robot, you do what I say, do it my way. That's excessive discipline. But guiding them and saying, oh, hey, no, we don't do that. We don't talk to elders that way. We don't address them this way, or, you know, that's not the way you act toward your brother or sister. That's discipline. It's not nitpickiness. It's guidance. We all need it. And I've heard more horror stories, not from the over-discipline. In fact, some of the over-discipline will look back and go, you know what? I rebelled against the discipline because I thought it was excessive. However, I appreciate it now. But I've never heard those who had no discipline go, I'm sure glad they didn't care what I did. No, most of the time they go, man, I wish they would have disciplined me. I wish they would have put me on restriction once to teach me a lesson. Discipline is more important than non-discipline. God does it to those who are His. And discipline says, I care. It doesn't always sound like you care, but it says I care. See, if you don't discipline your children, you're telling them, I don't care if you're not respectful to others. I don't care if you don't consider others, you just think about yourself. You have fun, you're a kid. You don't worry about what everybody else thinks. When you don't discipline them, you say, I don't care if you don't learn about honesty and integrity. I don't care if you don't learn about being content or sharing. I don't care. That's what you're saying when you don't discipline. Basically, you're saying, I don't care if you grow up with a godly character. You just be happy. I just want you and us to be good. That's the weakness, I think, in discipline. Those who don't discipline, there's a problem. They're worried. If I discipline, they won't love me. And if they don't love me, then I'll lose everything. That's a weakness and that's a lie from Satan. They will never appreciate you more. Maybe not in the moment. You got to get over the moment thing. But in the long run, it will be so much better for them and for you because of discipline. I say that because God disciplines those He loves. And God's ways are better than our ways. He says, if you don't receive it, you're not a son. You're not treated in love. And I discipline and I chasten and I rebuke and I scourge and I do to those that I love. It's love, not hate. Don't confuse that. Don't let the enemy mess that up in your mind because of maybe what your parents did or didn't do, because you think it's harsh. It doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God says.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.